Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Good Tuesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to 106.7 The Fan. We will take you all the way up to 6:30 on the show this evening with you for 4.5 hours. And coming up at 4 ahead of the Beltway Blitz in 2 hours, we are giving away Wizards tickets right here on GND. It's a Survivor Tuesday. We're going to be booting somebody off the island, giving somebody immunity. So you can vote today at facebook.com/Grant and Danny for a commander who you were impressed with to get immunity, a commander you were frustrated by to get booted off the island as we are on to the bye week.
Don't blame me for being frustrated with a lot of folks. Last year it was hard to eliminate people. This year it's hard to pick who to eliminate. Just kind of the tail of the tape here, or what a difference a year makes.
But it will also be easier, I think, to give out immunity after this game because there were better individual performances. There were guys that shined, and they played a more competitive ball game. Honestly, this game against Miami, while maddening because they lost and while a game they should have won, and it was a bad team losing in a bad way kind of game, was way more acceptable from the standpoint of it's hard to win in the NFL. Sometimes you don't make the winning moment play and you lose, and you deal with that. After a month of just getting my teeth kicked in and feeling like I don't belong, I can make more sense out of this one. Like, Logan Paulson and I are taping a new episode of Take Command, and we're going through the specifics of the game, and it's like, there's a lot of things that are bad to clean up here, a lot of things they got to fix, but this is what teams go through every single week in the league.
This is a regular bad, as opposed to record-setting on the verge of tying a record for 5 straight losses north of 21 points. Nobody's done that. One other team has. You were on the verge of that. This was just a regular, oh, bummer, we're not that good. We lost to another team. It's not that good. It's more standard.
Last night, was happy that the Caps got a win. We'll talk about this a little bit at 2:45.
Much needed air, yeah.
Yeah, they had to get it. First place team in town in the LA Kings, and Ovi scored another goal. He's on a bit of a heater. I've got some numbers on Ovi heating up for you coming up at the end of the hour, so make sure you're listening for that. But Danny, I actually want to start with the Commanders' improved defensive play. And here's the question I want to pose for people at 800-636-1067. You and I can dive into. They obviously played a much better defensive game against the Dolphins than they had in recent weeks. So kudos on the adjustments that were made and the fact that the swap Joe Witt for Dan Quinn seemed to have worked. How big of a factor in the improved defensive outing was the defensive coordinating play calling switch? How much credit do you give Quinn taking over those duties for the defense playing a lot better as opposed to other variables out of their control, like the fact that Tua is not as good as the other quarterbacks or the Dolphins weren't as good as the other teams that they were playing? Which was more important in the game?
To me, a bigger sample will really tell the tale of the tape here. I'm skeptical that a massive improvement happened week over week, simply because Dan Quinn was talking to the same players using ostensibly the same defense and maybe a couple different calls. I think they played more zone. I haven't seen numbers to support that. It just felt that way to me. Or they maybe took some stuff away. But I saw the big puncturing plays. I saw the easy runs on the first drive. I saw the easy pitch and catches. I saw all the easy stuff before Miami would kind of sabotage, and then Washington would step up and make a play, bend but don't break style, towards the red zone. It didn't feel like a great defensive awakening, and I know not to expect that because they were so terrible that any modicum of decency would look remarkable given the previous month plus. But to me, this was more bad Dolphins and question Dolphins, like, what are you doing a couple different times, than it was a renaissance. If I get something similar against an offense that can be had at times in Denver after this bye week, I'll go, you know what? This Dan Quinn makeover was for real. I'll eat my words. But to me, if I'm building a pie, the far bigger slice was Miami's, I would say, incompetent self-sabotage and their own kind of screw-ups than it was Washington being great on defense.
I think this is why it's a good debate. Because it's irrefutable that some of the pie that you're referencing, those ingredients include Miami's not the Lions.
Right.
They're not the Seahawks when they were cooking in Landover that night. And Tua's not those quarterbacks. But they definitely played better
on
defense.
There's no question they did.
They tackled a lot better in space than they have in weeks. They rushed the quarterback more effectively, especially on third down, than they have in a while. They covered better. There were not wide receivers running free deep in this game. The Dolphins really didn't try to push the ball down the field but once, and it was a near interception into double coverage, if you remember,
yep,
when Waddle down inside the 10-yard line had defenders on both sides of him. There are so many weeks as the year's gone on where that's just a wide-open throw and a pitch and a catch touchdown because there's bad communication and a bust on the back end. Didn't happen in this game. If you look at the explosives, Tua to Waddle, catch and run for 31, missed tackle by Quan Martin where a friendly fire takes out one of his own teammates. That play got him benched, by the way. So that was, shouldn't have been 31. It was a missed tackle that allowed that to happen. But otherwise, there's only two plays over 20 yards. And one of them was the first run of the game by Devin Achane. Or one of his first runs of the game, I should say. The other was a pass from Tua to Achane for 22 yards that happened second and 10 from the 46 in the fourth quarter. So I just thought this was a much more buttoned-up performance. Now, is that because Dan Quinn was calling plays? That's the question at 800-636-1067. Here's some numbers, by the way, to back up them being better. Because there's someone listening, I'm sure, right now going, they weren't that good. That's probably true. This is a low bar here. But they only gave up 3 third-down conversions, best they've done in 5 weeks. They held Miami to 142 net passing yards, the best they've done since last season. 2 turnovers on downs in a game, first time since week 6, 2023. 3 sacks in a game for the first time in a month. 2 sacks in the first half, first time in 6 weeks. Held an opponent under 150 net yards passing for the first time since week 8 of 2024. So these are all things they have not been doing, and they did them in this game.
There's no question that happened. So there is something to it, right? To say it's all one or the other, I think, is folly. That's, again, kind of what makes this a fun discussion. But just to pretend, no, it's all because Miami stunk. I don't think I'm doing that. I don't think anybody should be doing that. And also to pretend, see, that's all it took. Dan Quinn's a genius that just had to get back to calling the defenses, and then they tackled better. I think that's probably folly, too. The truth is probably somewhere in between. You saw, though, those big gash plays where it looked so, where Miami could have, like, McDaniel could have called any thing he wanted on that play sheet on that first drive, and they were going to get 15 yards. He went, oops, I meant to run left. Didn't matter. He was still going to go, oh, I meant to throw it to Waddle, and it didn't matter. They were marching down the field. They stalled out. Again, Washington deserves some credit, right? They're not going up against air. But so to me, if there's a larger sample kind of post-bye week where you get something similar, again, I think the idea of good defense is out of the realm of possibility. I'm not banking on that this year. But like this, where it's not an embarrassment, where they're not giving up 40, where they're not giving up 500-plus yards and a team takes their foot off the gas in the middle of the third quarter. If I get that a second straight week with the bye week in between, I'll kind of go, you know what? I'll revamp my view now and turn up my Dan Quinn made a difference fader. It's still now, it exists. It's reading.
Yeah, you
it's
need
probably
to add
in the 30s or 40s now. It'll go up into the 50s.
We'll get more info. That's why I'm trying to figure that out now. Because
yep.
I'm trying to guess at this like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I am also totally aware that Tua Tagovailoa, who's a flawed quarterback, is not Dak Prescott. Who, by the way, Dak, I thought on Monday Night Football last night, lit up the Raiders, was in complete control, looked very, very sharp. there's a mastery of that offense with the continuity with him and so many of his teammates with Dallas right now. And I know there have been different iterations, versions of that offense as they've gone from Garrett to McCarthy to Schottenheimer, but it's very similar structure for him. And if you can just play in the same offense with a lot of the same key pieces around you for many years, you're going to get better and better and better. And you can see that with Dak, who's putting up MVP caliber numbers this year. Also with that Cowboys offense from last night, by the way, George Pickens, what a season he's having.
Yep.
He is an absolute problem. This is not a guy that I would ever want on my team because I view him to be, you know, a volatile, mercurial kind of head case of a player.
But when it works.
Yelling at teammates and coaches. So when I say he's a problem for defenses, he's also occasionally a problem in his own building. And I would just miss on guys like this because I wouldn't want to get into the business and you get to have him. I don't. Because right now, it's 72 and sunny. He's been incredible, but he was uncoverable last night. He completely took over that game. He was dominant for the Cowboys, blowing out the Raiders.
I'm surprised it's gotten that he's still in honeymoon phase. I don't know. I would have thought right around now was meltdown time. And I thought we had that. First possession, he and CeeDee Lamb aren't in the game because of some sort of violation that Brian Schottenheimer hasn't gone into, unless I missed it, what the actual punishment was for or whatever. But I thought this would now be they're 3-5-1. They can't get right. Now that CeeDee Lamb's back, he's not getting his targets, and now he's starting to get pissed off. This is usually when the meltdown happens, right, where you get what's happening with A.J. Brown in Philadelphia, and he starts malcontenting, starts pulling everybody down with him, etc. Hasn't happened. We're still in honeymoon George Pickens' phase. And my God, is that guy a talent. Just not necessarily the biggest, fastest, or strongest, but there's a body control element that he's got where he's quicker than you think, and he's got a lean, and he's able to change direction so well, so fluid with his feet, great hands. Guy looks unbelievable. I mean, he was awesome last night. Awesome.
Big reason why Dak's having the season he's having right now. But Prescott, Mahomes, Darnold, and Goff were the four quarterbacks that you played going into this game, and I think Tua was a level down from all of them. Dak, top 10 level. Mahomes, obviously one of the greatest ever. Darnold's been playing at a top 10 level in the league. Goff's been a top 5 to 7 guy statistically for a few years going and just dissected them. And then you go down to the Tua tier of kind of top 20, top 22, something like that, depending on the week. It's the number 16 offense. It's the number 20 passing offense. And they are more forgiving of your mistakes. They're going to miss the red zone walk-in touchdown like they did. They're going to have a delay of game before a 4th-and-1. Where they make life a little easier on you. But I still want to give Washington its flowers because of how they tackled, because of how they got after the quarterback, because they covered better, you know, because their D-tackle showed up the way they did. This was Javon Kinlaw's best game, certainly since September and maybe all season long. I thought Eddie Goldman was more noticeable and impactful than he had been probably all season at D-tackle. Without Deron Payne, those guys took the game over, certainly on the goal line.
Yeah.
Is that because the Dolphins' offensive line is bad, or is it because they just played that well? I think that's a fair question. I want to hit the phones on this at 800-636-1067. Paul's in Centerville on Grant and Danny. You tell us, Paul, what'd you think? The better defensive performance. Is it a Dan Quinn shift, play calling shift, or was it more about who they were playing?
Yep. No, I think it was a positive shift all around. So big picture, what do you guys mentioned, bend don't break. And I think that that's totally what they went in thinking. They played those zone coverages, 3 deep, sometimes 4 deep. You keep the play in front of you. You don't give up the big play. And then when the field gets short, that's when you take your stand. So they actually appeared to have a coherent defensive game plan, and they executed it, which, like, we never saw under Witt. We didn't know really what the game plan was, and the execution was just a circus. We saw a blitz from the slot. Jonathan Jones came in, I think, on a slot blitz and got to the quarterback. I've never seen Witt call that before, right? Now there's still vulnerabilities running at the edges, the outside run. But, guys, that's a personnel issue. Quinn cannot scheme around that. We're so thin and weak out on the edge, and Bobby Wagner just can't move laterally. So when you don't have DEs to set the edge, when your middle linebacker can't go sideline to sideline, you're going to be vulnerable. But I thought it was great. They looked like they had a plan. They executed it. So well done.
Absolutely. And Paul, it's a good phone call.
Thanks, buddy.
This is what a lot of us have been asking for throughout. Nobody's expecting perfection from a flawed defensive design to begin with. The ceiling was 12 to 15 ranked defense in the league if everything went well. Then you have a bunch of injuries, and reasonably, you know, being in that 20 to 23 range at the end of the season is probably, you know, an okay thing to expect. It just can't be as bad as it was. It can't be as easy for the opposing offense as it was, where you watch the game back and you go, what are they good at? I mean, it was really, really just a shameful performance one after another. And this is all anyone was asking for. You're going to have flaws. You're not going to be able to stop runs on the outside right now. But compete. Be physical. Get some stops. Make a team punt every now and then. They still didn't get takeaways, but be in the area to get your hands on the ball occasionally. And all of those things happen. I think he makes a really good point about them feeling like they had an identity where everything was going to be in front of them in the back end.
Yeah, because I think the days of disruption where maybe they thought they'd be able to are gone. No Dorrance Armstrong, no Dietrich Wise, no, you know, anybody. No,
that's where you need those timely pressures like they got on third down with Martin, Miller, and the Jonathan Jones blitz that he just mentioned from the slot. They had not run one of those all year.
And it was good to see. Again, just try to be creative there. But the idea that you can dictate to the offense, I think, is over. Right? I think they've gotten rid of that idea. And so lean into what you are. And here's what you are. You can bend but not break. Try that. I mean, you're not going to turn people over. You're not good at getting home when you send extra. You're vulnerable in coverage. You know that. So you just sort of say, you know what? The middle of the field, that's yours. Enjoy it. From 20 to 20, Godspeed. Explore the space and have fun. And I think that's probably a decent idea at this point, hoping that your offense can return serve and control possession. I think that they're one of their best time of possession games in this one, right, against Miami. You hope maybe that that's the new formula for you, that your defense doesn't have to be on the field as long.
So this is something that we have been suggesting for weeks on this show. I know I've brought it up a lot, which is the best path forward to help your defense out is going to be in the way of your offense just staying on the field. And that takes converting third downs, which they did, 6 of 13. That takes being able to run the ball and be ahead of the sticks because of the early down runs that they call, which they did. Chris Rodriguez averaged 5 per carry and, you know, did a nice job. And so because you're in second and manageable and then third and medium, you convert more, about 50% of the time on third down. You win time of possession. They outsnapped Miami 33-19 in the first half. Well, when the opponent only runs 19 plays in a half of football, and Tua, I think, had thrown 7 passes in the first half. That's it. He was like 6 of 7. But if you throw 7 passes and you've run 19 plays after 30 minutes, how much damage are you really doing? I mean, even if you were cooking, that's 6 yards a play. Do the quick math. You know, you look at EPA or points per drive that elite teams average, you're going to be, if everything's going well, in the 9 to 12 point range probably. They happen to be right around 6, I think it was, at halftime. So that was a big, big part of this, was their offense made life easier on their defense by keeping them off the field. Their second best time of possession game, and the least they were on the field in all but one game this year. Let's go to Don in Ashburn on Grant and Danny. Did you think Quinn taking over defensive play calling duties made a significant difference?
I mean, I don't know about significance, but I think it made a difference because he's always been a pretty aggressive play caller. And as a leader, and he's proven, in my opinion, to be a very good leader, he's allowing Witt to make calls. He's not there to override him every time he makes something he doesn't agree with. And so I just think he was more aggressive all around. I mean, you just said it. He plays we hadn't seen called at all were being run on Sunday. So, yeah, I do think it made a difference. And he was a little bit more aggressive, 100%.
Thank you, dude. Yeah, it's interesting because we think of aggressive as set in the house, you know, like blitz 5, blitz 6, blitz 7 guys, and you know, damn the torpedoes. They were picking their spots, certainly. Again, we're going to remember the corner blitz because it got home, and it was very, you know, 2006 Greg Williams-esque. But in general, I didn't feel like they were as aggressive. Maybe I'm wrong. It felt to me like they went, okay, listen, we can't play the way we wanted to play, to borrow from Joe. It is not for everybody. But the way we wanted to do things, we probably can't do. This was an adjustment, and that's kind of what I've been begging for on all fronts during this horrendous streak that took him out of any kind of ability to have a meaningful season. It was do something different. This felt, we are not going to give up the 30-yard play over the top. We're not going to give it up. We might give up guys catch and run. We might get gashed a couple times for some chunk plays, but it's not going to be the home run ball. They just said, we're eliminating that, and that's what it felt to me, which I guess we'd refer to it as passive.
Which gets back to my big question, though. It's harder to live that way when you're playing the Vikings coming up.
Yeah.
When you got Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson all operating underneath and intermediate in the passing game, when they're going to be able to run the football with multiple backs
yep.
between the tackles in a way that maybe the Dolphins with Achane aren't going to necessarily do to the same extent. So how much of this was opponent versus they figured some things out? Because here's why this matters. If they can play that level of defense the rest of the season, they're going to win a few football games. They're going to be in almost every game, and they're going to steal a couple against good teams, and they're going to have a really good chance to beat the average or worse teams like the Giants or the Vikings that they still play. They were 13-0 under Dan Quinn when they held opponents to 25 or fewer points until this week. So they're 13 out of 14 in those sequences. They're going to win a lot of games if they play that level of defense. Do you think what we saw is replicable, even with the injuries, and sustainable? Or was it a one-off, quirky game, international, early morning, obviously a 3 o'clock local start time, and the Dolphins and Tua, a team that had three wins coming into the year? We'll take your calls at 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. I got home last night, and like a test sitting right there on the oven, was a tray
of a Turner
freshly baked chocolate brownies.
The temptation is real.
There were two brownies that had already been cut, corner, and then the connecting square.
Which leaves one more corner.
There were three corners. There's only two
brownies.
Well, I'm
saying in that row, that leaves a corner, right?
Oh, the tray was a lot longer than that. Yeah, there were a couple of.
So there's another edge piece and then a corner?
Oh, yeah.
You going four wide there?
I mean, it's a rectangular tray. Yeah. So, I mean, there was 92% surface area of brownie, and then just two square brownies cut out that were about, I don't know, the third of a dollar bill.
Now, when it's Dad's portion, does that one that would normally be one, an edge piece and a corner piece, does that turn into one piece a lot of times?
A little bigger.
For Dad? Yeah.
Can.
Yeah.
So I go to start cutting the brownies.
Sure.
And my son's like, no, you can't stop. They're for a bake sale. And I said, I don't believe this for one second. Because he was also smirking, and he was, like, doing this weird face.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean they're for a bake sale? And he's like, we have a bake sale at school. You can't eat these brownies, Dad. You're going to eat them all. And this is just a lie to let me know there's a bake sale that isn't happening so that I don't eat all the brownies in my mind.
Okay.
So what do? Rather than walking upstairs, I call upstairs to my wife. Like, Allison!
Hello?
She's like, yeah. And I'm like, are these brownies for a bake sale? She's like, yes. And I was just crestfallen. So what did I do? I pretended like I'd already eaten a couple brownies. I said, well, I just ate two of them. She's like, you shouldn't have done that. I hadn't. Then I walked over and cut two brownies and ate them after finding out they were for the bake sale. But in her mind, I had already eaten them because no one had told me. Even though
my son
had told me.
I see.
So at the bake sale, they're going to have two fewer brownies.
I got you. So now, who ate the first two?
Good question. Don't know. I'm guessing the kids got them for dessert or something.
Yeah.
But I would not have cut into the brownies and taken them away from the very fiduciary responsibility of the bake sale. We're doing this altruistic thing and raising some money for eighth grade.
Yes.
But someone had already cut into them, so it was okay to take a tray that was already cut into.
Right.
So what is the difference between two brownies gone and four brownies gone?
Two more brownies. But yeah, I see your point.
And my mind was also made up that they're clearly going to rearrange these on a dish or something. Because it's weird to take to a bake sale a tray that's been cut and some brownies that have been eaten.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to cut them all, then arrange them on a plate. So if we're doing
covered in aluminum foil, then who's going to miss them?
So it's either you just have two more brownies to sell at a couple bucks.
Yep.
I'll donate $4. Send me your Venmo. I'm going to eat these two brownies.
I like it.
So that's where we were at last
night. By the way, great strategy to inform on yourself, but it was a crime of ignorance. Right. In other words, you weren't sure that this warning from your son was real.
Right.
So you're like, I didn't know. I wouldn't have cut the two brownies otherwise. And then you wouldn't cut the two brownies.
Yes. But the most important thing I think that I did was I told my wife, I just ate two.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
To see how mad was she. Because if she was like, are you kidding? Like, don't eat two. Now I got to make a whole nother tray. If she says that, now I know, okay, I can't eat two.
And now you're a hero because I'm just kidding with you, hon.
Right. But because her response was more, oh, are you kidding me? Come on, man. Leave the brownies alone. She wasn't that angry.
Yep.
So I know there's some wiggle room
here. So it was worth the two brownies.
So now I can go back and eat the two brownies.
Yep.
So it all worked out really well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Got a tweet here. We were just talking about the defensive improvement, which was very real against the Dolphins. The numbers speak for themselves. Three sacks first time in a month. Two sacks and a half first time in 6 weeks. Held an opponent under 150 net passing yards. First time since week 8 of last season. How much of it is the Dolphins and Tua, and how much of it is Dan Quinn took over for Joe Witt and Washington's defense actually playing a lot better? This tweet says, are we serious right now? Miami's a bad team. Washington's got Denver, Minnesota, and the Giants all met to bat offenses coming up. Even if they play better in those games, I can't give a true measure until Dallas, most likely, but I'm definitely not changing my opinion because you stifled Tua Tagovailoa. Well, here's the problem with that. Nobody's asking you to change your opinion. I'm not saying, is this defense not as bad as we thought? That's not the topic. I'm not saying, is this defense fixed and good now? That's not the conversation. I'm saying they were better. How much of it was the Dan Quinn play calling? How much of it was things that they controlled and did badly against other opponents that if you did them against the Lions, maybe they don't score 44, maybe they only score 30. That if you did them against the Chiefs, you know, maybe they don't move up and down the field all night and you actually make them punt on Monday Night Football before there were 3 minutes left.
Because you previously had given up 39 a game with teams taking their foot off the gas over the previous four. That's what was happening. I understand those offenses are better. I'm fully aware of the context. So, but I've seen that Miami team move the football and score some points. They're not very consistent. There's a reason they're down at the bottom of the barrel. There's a reason they've only won four games and are probably looking for a new coach in the offseason and will need an overhaul. But I've seen them do more than they did this week, right? So that's why, to me, it's still too early for me to slam the gavel and go, aha, see, Dan Quinn really solved it. I don't know that everything's solved just yet. I still saw too many negative things, too many easy, oh my God, there's no resistance at this point on some of these plays. But if you do that against a couple mediocre offenses coming up, then you go, they couldn't have done that a month ago.
Yeah.
They couldn't have done that under Joe Witt calling the same stuff. They weren't good enough to stop anybody. And that's kind of the point here.
I stopped short of being overly positive about the defense because it's six straight losses and it's 7 of 8. And big picture, the program is not in a healthy place going into the bye week. And that's got to be properly acknowledged. But I do want to point out that the energy on the sideline, watching just the telecast, for a team that had lost that many games in a row was pretty incredible. Like the buy-in from those guys is crazy. There was a slow motion replay, I think it was of the Jacob Martin sack on Tua in the red zone where they forced a field goal on third down. And if you go back and look, like Dan Quinn jumps in the air. He was way more energetic than he normally is because he was more locked in and engaged calling plays, I think. But all around him, there's just players that are quite literally leaping their feet, jumping up in the air. Like it's as if they're playing a fourth and goal mm-hmm. with the season on the line to get to the playoffs or something. And it's 2-3 win teams in Madrid. It's 9:56 in the morning, you know, East time. And these guys are really bought in. And that was, I thought the energy was good to see. And not coincidentally, the performance looked like a team that had some energy. So I think that speaks to Dan Quinn and the fact that they are trying to make him look good as he took over those duties. Another thing is there has been some urgency, whether it's the Joe Witt change or they benched Quan Martin in this game. I don't know if you noticed that, but after he missed that tackle, and Lord knows he's missed a few of them this season in big spots. Think about Sweat against the Bears and some others. But he misses Waddle on the longest play of the game, over 30-yard chunk explosive for the Dolphins. And there's a two-play sequence where both plays, he could have done better, should have done better. And then he went to the sideline.
Yeah.
And Quinn actually, rather than defending it or saying, oh, he had something going on, he acknowledged, didn't use the word benching, but in his press conference yesterday, that it was about performance. This is what he said.
Just change in personnel, yep. It was just some corrections that had to be made, and so came back to play in it. But, yeah, we just wanted to make some corrections to get it right.
So that seems like a little thing, but I'll speak for myself as someone who has been begging for accountability, begging, like I did all season long with the Nationals, please bench somebody who gets picked off once.
There we go.
Please bench somebody who throws to the wrong place and misses a cutoff man once. This is a cancer that has overtaken the entire team. Nobody takes these things seriously, and the Nats, because of that, did the small things really, really badly all season, and nobody was ever held accountable. Similarly, with the Commanders' defense, who's getting sat down ever for just not controlling the controllables? And you saw that with Quan Martin on Sunday, finally.
This, again, I give them credit for finally doing it, okay? When Joe Witt's replaced, when Quan Martin's benched, when, you know, name that thing, too little too late as the season has already slipped away and it's already done, but still I do give credit. I think people needed the panic a month ago while you're starting to descend. It's like, with the iceberg, hey, turn the ship! At least they're turning, right? But whatever. All we can deal with is what is, pragmatically. That's the right thing. You're 100% correct. It is what I have been asking for. And I think I'm frustrated that they waited this long, but this is what you're trying to instill, right? This is the whole point. It's not just a, hey, man, this is kumbaya. This is, you know, the 7-year-old little league. You still, you know, no one's getting benched. No one is allowed to feel bad. Let's all get a trophy. This is professional football where you have to put good things on tape each and every time. And if you get beat, so be it. I can deal with the, you know, the physical error or losing in a certain situation, the other guy's better than you, that's going to happen an awful lot. They get paid to play too. But if you're in the wrong gap for the 10,000th time, if you over-pursue because you bit on the thing that they probably worked on, if your metric is you guys need to do X and X is not met, there needs to be repercussion for that. And there finally has been.
Well, I got buddies who coach at the high school level, and I'll ask them sometimes or I'll notice occasionally with a player who either, you know, just makes the wrong play or does something foolish or selfish or something, you know, hey, should that guy get benched? Like, you can't have kids acting like that. Or maybe it's school-related, right?
Right.
And I think if you have the roster where you're able to do that, I'm not saying win versus loss or getting worse as a team means you can't do this. But I'm saying, if, like, literally, if you have the bodies, if you have someone that can play the position, whether they're as good or not, then you might be able to. But there are times where you go, yeah, I'd like to send a message and say this isn't okay, and then you don't play for a couple drives. But we didn't have any more receivers who could go out there who know the plays or whatever. That could be a thing at that level.
Yeah.
We're close to that as an NFL version of they might want to send more messages and bench guys and sit guys. Yeah. And
how many defensive ends can you bench right now, for example?
Yeah. I don't think you can.
That's a good point.
I think you need X amount of plays from Von Miller and X percentage of the snaps from Jacob Martin because you're just so light at some of these positions. At cornerback, as an example, right now, you're without Marshawn Lattimore and Trey Amos, and in different games, other guys have gotten banged up like Jonathan Jones and gone off. You sitting a guy because he's missing tackles or busting assignments? I don't think you can all the time. So that's part of the perilous situation with the injury count where it's been. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll go fastest 16 minutes in football, go all around the NFL from what was a great weekend. And because the Commanders played a standalone morning game, we got to watch the 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock primetime windows unimpeded, which was nice. So we'll talk about all those games. But next, Alex Ovechkin is heating up once again. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Well, the puck left side here. Movarare from the point. Runs into Ovechkin, and the puck bounces out now to center. Ovechkin keeping into the zone, kicks it back to McMichael, top of the right circle, and moves in toward the slot. Chychrun trying to get the puck in toward Dylan Strome. He was camped out of the top of the goal crease, deflected down, and now they score! It's Ovechkin on a pass that came from in behind the net. The grade 8 bangs it home!
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. The Caps needed a win last night, and they got one against the LA Kings, 2-1 at home. That goal from Alex Ovechkin proved to be the difference. And don't look now, but Ovi's starting to heat it up just a little bit. His first 12 games this season, he scored just twice. Over his last seven games, he's got four goals. And in fact, he scored in three of Washington's last four games. So Danny, the 40-year-old wing in his 21st season is now up to six goals for the Capitals, on pace for 25 on the season.
Yeah, scored in three of his last four, and I bet you he beats 25, by the way. It's just,
That's an interesting question. If you're to set the over-under at 25, I think most of us who watch Ovi know, take the over.
Yeah, the burst is coming, and the slowdown has happened. I think we're in the process of happening, and it'll continue to happen. I don't think we're doing 60 anymore, or 55, or whatever the pace was last year. You just watch him move around on the ice, it's not the same guy, and that's not an insult, by the way. What he's already done is stupid. It's meta-human. It's ridiculous. But he doesn't fly around, hit everything that moves. It's, again, the analogy I used the other day when we had Joe Beninati on, it looks like a shark that's just eaten. Like, he's just kind of moseying around, getting to his spots, and when it happens, he's still got enough burst to get the shot off and do a few things. But, yeah, I think there's a couple more grimy goals in his future, deflection or two, shots from the office, the whole nine yards. He'll go on a little bit of a streak and get north of 25. But, again, it's remarkable, and they've been needed here as this team has really struggled for offense.
He has never scored less than 32 goals in a season when he's played 82 games. So that's kind of been the low water mark, is you get to 31, 32 goals if you play 79, 80 games. So I guess what I wonder is, if he was to keep up at this pace, and you think he's going to get on a roll, and so do I, there's going to be a 10-goal and 17-game stretch where all of a sudden, instead of being on pace for 25, he's on pace for 36 or whatever. But let's just say, hypothetically, he scores 24 goals this season and he stays at the pace he's on right now. Does that make him more or less likely to come back next year? Like, I would tend to think that if he were to slow down considerably and have a year where it seems like the machine is breaking, or that Father Time is starting to win, that maybe you'd say, all right, I can now kind of slow it down a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I can now tell everyone with a month to go, because I'm now a 25, 30 goal guy, I'm not a 40, 50 goal guy, this is my last ride. So I don't have to do the all year long celebration in every single building. I'll just do that for a couple weeks in a few select buildings at the end of the season. And then I'll walk into the sunset. And in his case, he'll go play a couple of games for his Russian team in the KHL, play for the Russian national team a couple of times, and call it a career. Or do you think, if he only scores 25, do you not want to go out on that note, because you know you've got more in you, so you go, I could come back and make a run at this thing, especially because I got off to the slow start, and if I redid the year, I'd be a 30-goal guy, and I was at a 50-goal pace for these certain weeks, so I got another 47 in me. I want to play one more season. How would that affect his decision, do you think?
So it's hard to feel definitive about it one way or the other. I would be inclined, trying to put myself in his shoes, which is really hard to imagine, but doing my best.
Yellow laces on those shoes, you think?
Yeah, that it would mean that, okay, this is it. I know that I'm not this anymore. But you said the key thing is to go, yeah, I bet you if I did this season again, I would score 40 goals. And that unwavering confidence and understanding of belief in yourself, the rest of us mortals don't have, right? We understand that we're limited. He shouldn't be doing any of this. He should be at home in Russia with his feet up watching his kids play. But he's not. He's still playing NHL hockey, the best league that there is, at a pretty damn high level. I would think, though, when you know that the grind to get ready and the grind just to be kind of the same, the grind to be almost more ceremonial, because that's what it would be, right? It's, you're no longer a top-line guy. You are because you're Alex Ovechkin, but you probably shouldn't be the first left winger on the ice, leading the team in ice time and shots and shifts and all that kind of stuff. You're probably better served with somebody else doing it. Once you get to that point and your burden is the wrong term, but kind of like that, where it's got to be like, the old guy that's lost his bat speed, hey, but he set all the records here, he's your third place hitter, you're probably better served with the 26-year-old in his prime that's going to hit nukes hitting third. Once you get to that point, it's time to hang it up. And I've gotten the sense with all the jersey trading and the stick trading and things that he's doing that I think he knows this is the swan song.
I don't know if I believe that just yet. I've said, and I'm on record, and I'll keep saying, I do think this is his last year. I think he probably knows it in the back of his head, and I just don't think he wants to acknowledge or admit it yet because he doesn't want all the fanfare to some extent that he dealt with last year while he was chasing down Wayne Gretzky. And he doesn't want to go through that dog and pony show again with the 10-minute ceremony before every game and teams stopping games after he scores and all this other stuff. So you might be right, and that is part of why that the sticks are being exchanged and the jersey swaps that we're seeing. I also think there are other players just kind of covering their bases just in case.
Yeah.
Like they all know, just like we do, this could be the last season. So if he does come back next year or in a year, he decides he's coming back again and it's 2 years left or something. So what if you got the jersey signed in 2025? You were just making sure. I don't know that anybody really has any good inside information, but I think a reduction in scoring, like consequential reduction this year in his production offensively, where he's in the mid-20s or not quite at 30 goals, would be the evidence he needs to say, all right, I'm bumping into things when I drive.
Yeah.
I probably need to hand someone the keys. And by the way, think of how amazing that is. Do you know how many good scorers in the league would consider mid-20s or 30 goals an unbelievable season? You know, a guy like TJ Oshie, 25 to 30 goals was, that was a year, man.
Yeah.
And he was a great offensive talent. So for Ovi, if he does that and he goes, all right, well, I'm really starting to slow down at this point, which I think is how he'd be viewing it, I think it would be the last year. For him to want to come back next year, I think he'd have to get on a roll and be in the low to mid-40s again where the goals are coming easily on the power play and coming easily at times. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be in the cards with this team.
Right.
They're just not good enough at creating chances right now.
Well, I was going to say, there's no prime Nicholas Backstrom to set you up. There's good players, but not to the same degree.
Strom's doing a nice job.
Yeah, but not to the same degree as that high-flying young guns type era was, where it was just up and down and odd man rushes and shots coming from everywhere. It's just a different club right now.
They just offensively aren't playing at a level scoring enough goals to get him the chances either to start piling up snipes.
Yep.
So if they're a team that's tops in goals scored like they were at this point last year, weirdly, Ovi's going to have a lot more goals, you know, because there's just more chances, more opportunities. Everybody has more snaps to touch the football, so to speak. Let's get you the fastest 16 minutes. We'll go all over the NFL in Week 11. Big storylines from the league covered on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.